Hi, this is Ken McCarthy, and this is part of the pre-system seminar series. Every year before the annual system seminar, we do a series of interviews and teleseminars with our faculty members. And today we're going to be talking with Perry Marshall. Perry, are you there?
I am here.
Okay. And just before the call, Perry and I were calculating how many years of experience, combined experience, we have in Internet marketing, and we concluded 98.
Yes, almost a century. Well, actually, Ken, you've been, like, longer than 7 years. And I guess so have I.
Yeah, but let's say we've been good the last 7 years.
Good for the last 7 years. Convert human years to dog years, and you multiply by seven, and there's two of us. And so 49 times two is 98. So we have 98 years of experience here that we are going to share with you.
And now you're an engineer. You actually have formal engineering training, so your numbers are always valid.
Yes. Yes. I have an electrical engineering degree from the University of Nebraska, which is almost as good as MIT, and you have to believe my numbers when I tell them to you.
There you go. See, I'm a liberal arts major. I would never dream of trying to get away with that numbers, but
you could trust me.
Perry, just let me throw this out here. This is totally off the topic, sort of is. Did you know that I started a new website called jazzonthetube.com?
Yes, I know about that site.
Excellent, excellent. Everybody, Perry's a jazz fan. I'm a jazz fan. My friend Michael Fishman, who's quite possibly the best health market list broker in the world, is a jazz fan. Robert Middleton's a jazz fan. All kinds of smart marketers are jazz fans. So we're wondering if you are a jazz fan, too. If you are, just go to jazzonthetube.com. That's jazzonthetube.com. And have fun. And if you're not a jazz fan, this may turn you into a jazz fan. So anyway, I just want to get that off my chest.
Well, I got to say something about that. Okay, I pay attention to the relationship between people's musical tastes and, like, what they do. And, you know, my real sweet spot is progressive rock, which is rock with the values of jazz, you know, like complicated arrangements and weird time signature changes and, you know, science fiction themes and stuff like that. And I definitely notice a peculiar, bias in my customer audience towards, you know, sophisticated music, I think.
Okay.
And I think it says something about people's personality. It's like they like refined things. They like things that require talent and skill and insight as opposed to just, you know, throwing a banjo over your shoulder and playing any old thing.
Right, and that's not to say we're against banjos. But.
No, not at all. Not putting anybody down, but I'm just saying, you know, there's certain biases that you find, and you learn to look for them as a marketer. Like, you go, well, you know, this is kind of, these people have this peculiar interest in this one thing. I wonder what other oddities they all have in common, because there usually is a list.
There you go.
Anyway.
Speaking of peculiar interests, you and I have been fascinated and mesmerized almost by the Internet, especially the Internet as a marketing tool, in particular the Internet as a direct marketing tool for a lot of years now.
Yep.
And I'd say in the last seven, we've both been, you know, kind of on a good streak with it. Now, things I sense, and I don't know if you do, and I'll tell you why I sense this, and maybe you can respond. I sense that as the Internet went through a pretty big change about 7 years ago, as it went through a pretty big change 7 years previous, so it would be 94 when the web really got going, or at least, you know, really started to look like it was going to be something, in 2002 when the pay-per-click model really took root. You know, and now we're 7 years out from that, and I sense some big changes. One, and I was just talking with James Martell, another faculty member, about this, that Google's really gotten its natural search thing together to a really high degree. In other words, it's really able to reward content-rich sites with more precision than even last year. Seems to be getting better. may be annoying to certain marketers, you know, who were following a certain paradigm. But it seems to be actually doing a better job at that. Also, and this is not something that happened just now, but it's been a trend. Google's come out with some really amazing tools, you know, the Google Analytics, Google Website Optimizer. These 7 years ago, these tools would have been, you know, talk about science fiction.
Yep.
And now they're free. And it's like, hey, you can use them. We'll even show you how.
Mm-hmm.
The market's, you know, certainly a lot bigger than it was 7 years ago. You know, we're in times where, hey, people are maybe not spending as freely as they were a couple of years ago. But, you know, as anybody that's followed the cycles of history know, things don't go back to zero. They do, you know, they do retrace a bit on their way, you know, somewhere else.
Yep.
But clearly there's a lot of people on the Internet, a lot of people depending on the Internet for their daily information on all kinds of things. That's very unlikely to change. And for the historically minded out there, the golden age of broadcasting, radio broadcasting, was not the roaring 20s when the radio was invented. It was the 30s. So take do with that as you will.
That's a astute observation.
Oh, yeah.
Indeed.
Yeah,
especially, you know, if all you had to distract you from your misery was your radio,
mm-hmm.
There you go. Yep.
I mean, if you went from a novelty, from a few hobbyists to this huge, powerful force, do you happen to see anything happening right now? Like, you know, I'm not talking about this day or even this month, but in this general time zone of the last several months, last, you know, year or so, of some kind of, I mean, again, I'm trying to put my own finger on it, you know, the qualitative shift in the Internet changing. Maybe we're getting more perceptive about what the Internet requires of us to be effective. Anything come to mind for you?
Well, just for those listening, this call is not even slightly premeditated.
That's the truth.
We're not pretending to, like, you know, Ken doesn't have something that he knows I'm about to say, so this, we're just winging it here. So I don't know what you're looking for an answer, but I think we're at the point where the Internet has become more about entertainment and distraction than about getting things done.
Interesting. Okay.
And again, I don't know where you're going, but I think that's largely what the social media thing is. Okay? Like, Facebook increased 4,000% in, I think, Italy in the last 3 months. Okay? And of course, it's similarly taken off. Now, most of what goes on at a place like Facebook is pure diversion. Okay? This is not how, you know, scientists get their papers written. You know, this is not how people find their remedies for arthritis or whatever. This is just where people catch up with old friends and all this kind of stuff. And it's obviously very, it strikes a deep need of what a lot of people want to do. I mean, I was just talking to my next door neighbor the other day, and he was born in Iceland. And, you know, in the last few months, he's reconnected with all these family members that are flung far and wide, and it's all great. Okay? But the significance of that is, I think, whereas, you know, 2 or 3 years ago, okay, you wanna check your email, talk to your friends, go look for something, or see what's up with your favorite band, you get on the Internet. But if you wanna just be entertained, you turn on the TV.
Mm-hmm.
Right? Okay.
Right.
I think now the Internet, you know, even just, you know, your friends' silly jokes and posts and things, you know, that somebody's goofing off or posting some comment about the Thai restaurant they went to last week or whatever, and you know, arguing about Obama or whatever, that is becoming the new water cooler in the world. Okay. Mm-hmm. Now it doesn't take away from anything else that's going on the internet, because their people are just on their computer more. But I think you have to be careful not to think that if you're a business person and you're trying to get done, that you just have to like be out there entertaining people all the time or responding to everybody's chatter.
Gotcha. I think I know where you're going with this, and I think this is a really interesting point. Because a lot of people believe they need to have Facebook, LinkedIn, Twitter. I'm probably leaving 20 dozen things out.
Right.
And they need to be on all these things. And because that somehow is that where you're going with this?
Well, yeah. Like it's this, and you know, like, I started playing with Twitter not too long ago, and it's kind of fun. And the nice thing is like, if I'm sitting waiting for my oil to be changed or something, I can Twitter some message to 1,500 people who presumably are interested in knowing that I'm waiting for my oil change to be done or something. Okay. Now I Twitter's supposed to be about what are you doing today. I think it's about saying something interesting in 140 characters or less, which is a whole lot more challenging than just letting people know, you know, that you're getting your hair cut. Okay? And so I don't think it's any coincidence. Okay, a Twitter message is 140 characters. A Google ad, including the URL, is 130. Okay? Both of those things are like the minimum fundamental length of a useful internet communication. Okay? Mm-hmm. And being able to say something thoughtful, memorable, useful in like 15 or 20 words or less is actually a real art form.
Mm-hmm.
You know, can you say something that'll stick in their head, that gives them something useful to chew on? Or, of course, maybe it's a link to some website. I see a lot of people, you know, just like links to every interesting little article and every little distraction that they can come up with, but that's like all they are is distractions. And, you know, the ability to distract people is definitely something that internet marketers need to know how to do. But not getting distracted all the time yourself is the other part of the equation, because useful things only get accomplished in the world by people who are focused on what they are doing.
Yeah,
so,
and distraction is only the first part of the sales process. You know, another way you could also call distraction attention.
Yeah.
A distraction is a way to get someone to look in a particular direction, but that's just the beginning.
Right.
If all you're doing with Twitter and Facebook and LinkedIn is just distracting people momentarily, then they go back to their next distraction. That's
right.
Kind of the definition of unproductive activity.
Right. So let's go back to music, okay? There's, because this has a direct parallel, okay? There are songs and bands you hear on the radio, you go, oh, I love that song. And, like, by the time you've heard it 10 times, you don't really love it anymore. It has no staying power, and it disappears off the charts, and the band is never heard of again.
Mm-hmm.
Okay?
Mm-hmm.
But there are other bands, they get their one hit on the radio, and 15 years later, and 6 or 8 albums later, none of which ever got played on the radio, you go to their concert and there's 5,000 people there.
Mm.
Because they cultivated a following with their 15 minutes of fame. There was real substance there. I mean, there's all kinds of bands that have not had a new hit on the radio for two decades, and they got sold out shows at Madison Square Garden.
So one of the takeaways maybe for our listeners is there's a lot of stress on the home, you know, hitting the Grand Slam and being, you know, having the hit, the number one hit, and being the top dog and all that. And you know, that's a good thing to aspire to, but make sure that you're also aspiring to gathering a following as you're working towards that.
Yep.
And if you are so lucky as to get a big hit, that you've got your basket ready to catch all the potential that comes from that. And you know, direct marketing gives people that kind of disciplined approach to being in the world. You know, hey, I have no fans. Well, I've got one fan, so he's on my list. Now I've got two. All right.
Mm-hmm.
I've got, you know, twice as many as I, 100% more. And then, so direct marketing works on that level, but I love the way it works on the other level, too, which is you get that break, let's say, and you're in front of 20,000 people. And you're like, ah, as a direct marketer, I know the value of a list. I want to make sure when I walk out of this auditorium that I've got as many of these names and I work them. Maybe what we're talking about is bringing this direct marketing sharpness to whatever media you're in. You know, right now we're in this social media buzz, and it could be a fad. You know, I wouldn't be surprised if it not went away but subsided. You know,
it's possible.
There's still lots of guys that love their CB radios. You know, and they love. But remember, I don't know if you remember, if you're old enough, but I definitely remember when CB radios were...
I remember that. I was a kid.
Yeah, like everybody had one or wanted to have one, and then it was just like the obvious thing to do when you were in the car, and everybody was learning the lingo, and everybody had a handle. And now it's gone back to where it belongs.
So Ken... sounded like you were going to go somewhere.
Physically?
With this conversation.
Oh, this conversation.
Like, about what you felt like was changing lately, or what?
I want to just follow up on real quickly. The idea that the Internet is becoming a dominant entertainment channel, which is good news for Internet marketers.
Yes, it is.
Why is that? Because someone might have been listening to this and say, oh, my God, people are just going to do Facebook and they're going to Twitter each other. When are we going to sell to them? Don't worry about it. If they're on the medium all day and all night, which seems to be a trend that's not changing.
Oh, yeah.
When we talk with Kim Dushinsky, who's also a faculty member who just came out with Mobile Marketing Handbook, you know, we're focusing on the computer screen. Well, there's a whole world of people doing the same stuff on mobile, and it's even bigger on mobile. And mobile's got a beautiful growth curve going on.
My wife just bought a CrackBerry, so she now has the Internet all the time.
Yeah,
I do not want that, but, you know, she does.
Yep, and we're going to be, by the way, one of the things we'll be talking about in Chicago is how to make sure, and you can listen to Kim's interview right now, by the way, or after this one, make sure that you are mobile friendly with all your web activities, because think about this. People are getting emails from you, and they're reading them on their CrackBerry or on their iPod or their whatever they're calling that thing now, iPhone. And they're going, oh, that looks pretty interesting, and they're clicking on the link, and they're going to a site that they can't quite read.
Yep.
And, you know, as they say in video games, game over. And that's really tragic because, wow, you got them to open the email, you got them to read the email, you got them engaged, you got them to click. And for lack of having an adapted a mobile-enabled website, you lost a chance to sell. But going back to what you said about entertainment, it's good that the Internet is becoming more and more essential to people's lives because it means they're on it all the time and they're fluent with it. They're expecting to find stuff. They're expecting to get stuff. When they're not fooling around, they're expecting to get stuff on the Internet. By the way, maybe this is just a coincidence, I have started, like for instance, we mentioned Jazz on the Tube when we started, and I have a bunch of little properties like that, and they grow very nicely. Jazz on the Tube is without any advertising, just member tell a member, is growing at 1.5% a day, the subscription.
Nice.
Yeah, you know, and I think realistically, in a couple of years, I can get the subscription base up to at least 100,000. And the way I use this, I mail every day. I basically mail, hey, here's a cool link, you know, a cool jazz video. And my dream is, my plan is to get everybody on that list hooked on the process. So it's like they're waiting for their daily jazz fix from Jazz on the Tube. It comes,
yeah.
They're excited, they click on it. And actually, interestingly enough, on that particular property, and we have some other ones, but that one is a one-to-one ratio. In other words, if I mail 25, right now it's 2,500 people. I started January 1st, so it's practically brand new. If I mail to 2,500 people, I get 2,500 page views that day.
Hmm.
So I'm kind of going into the entertainment business. Why not? I understand the internet. I understand. And here's the thing: I'm using classic direct market stuff. I make sure that I mail something to them every day. I make sure it's interesting. I make sure it's really easy to share the email with their friends. I make sure it's really interesting, really easy for people to subscribe to the service. You know, I'm in the entertainment field in this one little business, but I'm using all the old school direct marketing strategies. Yeah, I guess, you know, as you can imagine, I've been teaching online marketing for 15 years. This is the seventh year under the system label. And, you know, there are times, especially in recent years, where I look at all this and go, you know, I kind of had it. Unlike some people that have been spending their money like drunken sailors, I am very tight with my money, and I say every penny I've made, I still have. And I was, as you know, because I was telling all the club members, advising them, in 2005, I started looking at potential liquidity problems in the financial world. And in 2007, I was completely out of every stock market there was, and I was 100% cash. So I'm personally in pretty good shape. I'm not saying this to brag, but I am saying this to say I don't need to do this anymore. You put on an excellent big seminar with hundreds of people and a cast of thousands, and you know that it's brutal. It ain't a walk in the park.
Running a seminar? Oh heavens.
Yeah.
Well, being professional is by definition like making something hard look easy.
There you go.
So,
you know, and so I've been doing these seminars for all these years, and I was kind of thinking, you know what, I'm kind of done with this. You know, I got some other things going on. They're less stress. But you know what, this year, I don't know, I went over to England. I met some really sharp internet marketers over there. Guys, you may know. In fact, I bet you do, Carl Blanks and Ben Jessen.
I don't know them. I sort of kind of know Drayton Bird.
Yeah, Drayton, you know, who's one of the great legends of marketing in general, and then there's a student of ours, Mark Atwood, who.
I know him. Yeah.
Oh my God! Talk about lighting the world on fire. He took a business that was doing less than £1 million a year, and last he told me in 3 years, his total enterprises are doing over £8 million, and that's a lot of bread, you know, no matter how you cut it, and. So he was over there kind of pitching in, and then we had Drayton. We had the kind of unadvertised because they wanted to be under the radar. We had the co-founders of Ad Tracker, the Mandel brothers, Mike and Andy Mandel. Brilliant, obviously, brilliant guys. They pitched in some great stuff. Carl Blanks and Ben Jessen, they're Google certified. Their business is really interesting. They only take clients that are doing already at least $10 million a year in sales. They come in, they roll up their shirt sleeves, they run the internet conversion for the company for a share of the approved performance. So it was very inspiring to be teaching with these guys because they're really on top of their game. And then we did a thing for beginners in Chicago in the fall. And I got to really work with James Martell for the first time. I mean, I've known James. We've done stuff together, but we just never had a chance to really, you know, work together in a real big way. And, you know, his stuff is very, very, very impressive. And we have an interview with him, which I recommend people definitely take a listen to, especially if you're interested in being a web publisher, putting up content and building a following that way and selling advertising. He's really got a great formula for that. and for, you know, the legend, the mythical outsourcing solution to internet marketing. He's got that down better than anybody I've ever seen. Probably because he was a house builder.
Oh,
the internet.
Yeah.
I mean, like on the internet, if you kind of, let's say you're trying to build a website, and you kind of screw it up, and the whole thing just falls apart. No one noticed. Lost a lot of money. You buy some land, you dig a hole in the ground, you start putting in foundation, you start having skilled craftsmen show up at $20 an hour with all, you know, tens of thousands of dollars worth of materials. If you don't have your that is essentially outsourcing, because you're not building the whole thing yourself. If you don't have your act together, it gets ugly really fast. So James was a successful house builder and got tired of it because it's got its own challenges, and he's just applying all that rigor to outsourcing to the internet, and he's building beautiful web properties. You know, he's got one very interesting. I don't know if you know his work. He trained his wife, and his wife created one that provides information for moms whose children have epilepsy and/or autism. Very fast-growing site. Really, a real service to the internet. A real service to people that are in that situation. Growing like wildfire. And then James is. You know, he's a hobbyist. He's one of these guys that loves cars. He happens to love the car, you know, the Shelby. And he's got a site that's, you know, attracting all the people that are interested in that car. And there's a lot of them.
Oh, yeah.
And they spend a lot of money. So anyway, just, you know, working with James, working with these English guys, getting to spend some time with Train, who's one of the great geniuses. And then the other element for me was the fact that Google came to our event last year, and they're coming again this year. And what was so interesting last year, and I think this all this has created this sort of critical mass thing in my brain related to internet marketing this year. What was so interesting about the Google guys is, you know, we all talk about testing, and all the old timers from direct marketing talk about how great it is. And the reality that Google revealed to us, and I guess it's something we all kind of knew, but I don't know, it just didn't sink into me until I heard it come out of Tom Leung's mouth. Google, among all the other things it is a testing machine.
Yep.
They are testing everything all the time. They get in the news. It's really interesting how bad the news media does reporting how business actually works. You know what I mean? They always like focus on the wrong stuff. And I pity anybody that tries to enter the world of business based on following the media. Because what does the media say about Google? Oh, well, they have this big campus, and everybody gets gourmet meals, and if anybody has an idea, they can bring it to the boss. And, all that's going on. But what they're not telling you is, then the boss will split test the idea.
Yeah. They believe in the court of last resort over there.
Oh, and it, you know, it's a beautiful, beautiful thing, and it's really kind of, you know, you've been with us now for 7 years, and if you watch the tapes from 7 years before that, we were always talking about this medium as being a direct marketing medium and testing being at the core of the direct marketing medium, and here we've got the winner. I think it's fair to say that Google, you know, if you look at all the players in the internet marketing place, the biggest winner by far is Google, and how did they get that? I mean, people got to remember, 7 years ago, Google was, I don't know if it's going to work. I don't know if these guys are going to make it. And
true.
Right? I mean, new people, please realize that Google was a minor league search engine. I think, you know, netheads and technically inclined people had discovered it and really liked it.
But well, that's why I was interested. I was a geek. So it naturally appealed to me. But, yeah, I'm sure most people are using Yahoo and whatever else.
Oh, yeah. I mean, in terms of revenue, I mean, you could just go back and look at the revenue statements and who was you know, making a lot of money and who was, you know, kind of doing okay but not great. And now just 7 years later, and 2002 really was the turning point for them. That's when they introduced AdWords. That's when you picked up AdWords and really, plumbed to the depths
yep.
of the science behind it and made it into a workable business tool for people. What's the moral here? The moral is Google tested its way to success. And they're real clear about that. It's not a theory. It's not some, you know, platitude that they have up on a plaque somewhere. You know, I had a chance actually to talk with the speaker who's coming from Google this year, Trevor Claiborne. And all we were talking about was we tested this and we tested that and we tested this against that. And I'm like, wow, these guys are like testing maniacs. Which of course, your whole discipline of Google AdWords and everything you do is based on testing.
It is. It is. It's like teaching people the mindset. And testing as far into the sales funnel as you can realistically go, which is farther for some than others. But like connecting the dots, because that's the only way that you get down to the real reality is, you know, where are the real actual pockets of people that are desperately interested in this and interested in buying this versus where's all the casual lookers? And, you know, what do you say to people? And, you know, can we try a bunch of different ads and a bunch of different words and find the words that nail the emotion? So definitely.
And you also test deep into your business too. For anyone that's done any AdWords at all realizes that testing's kind of like right in your face. You're putting up an ad and you get a conversion rate and you have a chance to improve on that conversion rate. And so that's sort of the first level. But there's many different levels you can test things at.
Right. And so. You know, the most superficial level is the AdWords ads, and you can optimize for click-through rate, but then, okay, landing pages, sales pages, maybe you've got an email list that's 5 years old, and, you know, maybe you can test, you know, what emails you send to them, or what, you know, what offers they actually respond to. So it never really stops, and whether you're doing it formally or anecdotally, you still should be taking notes every step.
Now, you've also tested how to it is conversion, but it's conversion on a different scale. You've also tested how to convert your customers to higher and higher levels of monetary value, for lack of a better to you. Can you talk a little bit about that? Because this is something. I hope everybody who's on this call knows it. If not, just Google Perry Marshall. Check out his book. He gives away tons of information about AdWords. If you need to know something about AdWords, Perry's there. Perry's your man. He's got it. 99% of the people teaching AdWords are at least, if not students of his, at least, you know, colleagues of his. He's sort of at the source of a lot of the information that's out there. But you actually go way deeper. And have a lot more important things. I'm not going to say more important, but at a certain level, AdWords, you know, you learn the mechanics, you get good at it, you learn some pointers, you tighten things up. You know, you can always improve, but pretty much it's a learnable skill.
Right.
But you go far deeper into this stuff. For instance, you're a big advocate that people should take a serious look at and practically apply the 80-20 rule.
Yes. Well, you know, the whole 80-20 rule comes from chaos theory, which, it's weather, snowflakes, fractals, the sizes of the branches or the leaves on the tree outside your window, you know, those are the laws that govern those things. And so the 80-20 rule is a law of nature. It's not just a business school abstraction. And the math that's behind all that is what is termed power laws. And a power law says this. It says that if foxes weigh 10 times as much as rabbits, then basically there's 10 times as many rabbits as foxes. Okay? I remember reading this wildlife book and it was it had this section, and it was talking about whether a pack of 20 dingoes was a match for 4 mountain lions. And you know, most people go, well, gee, I don't know. And then it told you, well, it's 4,500 pounds of dingoes versus 4,000 pounds of mountain lions. The dingoes are probably going to win. And then it turned out to be right. But, like, it was a really close match. Very bloody, right?
Okay,
well, so what does this have to do with business? Well, it's that when you give somebody a $20 bill, that $20 bill is going to get broken apart in fairly predictable ways. You know, 1, 10, 1, 5, 4 ones, you know, so much change. And if you look at the little units of money, when you're all done, 80% of the value is in 20% of the bits of currency. Okay, and this is going on all the time. And so what that means is that, you know, you put up, you know, some kind of like simple website and you sell, remote control airplanes or something, and they cost $500 a piece. And so now you've got X number of sales of your $500 airplanes. Well, the fact is there's 5 times as many people that'll buy a $100 airplane of some kind, and there's 1/5 as many people that'll buy a $2,500 airplane. And so you can go either up or down in price, not by increments, but by multiples. And demand exists for something at that price that scratches basically the same itch. And so there's an awful lot of websites where all they have to do is multiply their price levels, you know, times 10 or times 100 or divide by 10 or divide by 100 and offer it something at that price point so that when people start buying things at their store, that they can start behaving according to the 80-20 rule. Because all the customers that are coming through follow the 80-20 rule in terms of their appetite. But you have to match it in terms of your ability to match their appetite. Okay? And so the best example that I could give you of that is you can buy an Ultimate Guide to Google AdWords on Amazon.com for $16, or you can, and that's my cheapest product, or you can join Roundtable, come to a 4-man intensive, and be a top-level mastermind member for a year, and that's going to cost you about $16,000. Okay? So I have a 1,000-to-1 ratio from least expensive product to most expensive product, and a whole bunch of stuff in between, okay? My ability to span that range is a big reason why I dominate my market, okay? It's the same reason why General Motors has Chevy, but they also have Buick, they also have Cadillac. Because really, to be a healthy business, they have to encompass the spectrum.
Well, you know, we have a student of yours that's, you know, John Rinaldi, who's in the field of basically selling software solutions to automated manufacturing stuff.
Yep.
And you gave him this simple advice, even simpler actually, which was to say, hey, you have one option now, John, have 3. You know, a low price, a mid-level price, and an outrageously high price.
Mm-hmm.
And he's doing extremely well after 15 years of, and he admits it, struggling and not really getting anywhere. He's doing very well now.
He's doing very well.
Yeah.
And he's doing well in the industrial market, which is one of the worst places to be in a recession. He's still doing fine.
Yeah, and growing and adding people and adding customers and adding all kinds of stuff. And he attributes the thing that sparked him. I just interviewed him a couple months ago. He attributes the thing that sparked him that, to that very idea of just giving people multiple ways at multiple levels to deal with you. And if, and really, you know, almost if you did nothing else, that's going to change your destiny.
It is. It's very powerful, and it's why there's small, medium, large when you order drinks at McDonald's. And so, I mean, this goes on at every level, and I think the smartest business people, the smartest marketers take whatever they know from some other corner of their life, and they apply it to what they're doing here. So, like, you just gave this example, this guy who did construction, and so now he applies his construction expertise to building websites. Well, that fits the pattern exactly. I mean, all the smartest people in my circle, you know, rattle off their names: Glenn Livingston, David Bullock, Ari Galper, you know, the guy that you're talking about. They all had some kind of expertise in some other field, and they came here and they go, hey, wait a minute, this is useful here. Here, let me take it and tweak it. And sometimes it's a little tweaking, sometimes a lot, but it ends up being really super useful. And so, you know, people talk about, oh, yeah, in a different life I had this job. Well, it's your same life, and there's a whole bunch of stuff that you did at that job that surely must apply here too.
Mm-hmm. You know, it's true in my case too. Like, what was I doing when I was in my late teens and early 20s? Mm-hmm. I was promoting events. They happen to be musical events.
Yep.
But, you know, it's the same thing. You know, there's a show. There's talent. There's an audience. There's a time and place. And you've got to make all those things coincide in three-dimensional space and get paid. So this is another lesson. You know, we're not, the internet is not a blank slate. You have to learn, you know, something completely from scratch as if you knew nothing. You very probably are coming to it with something very well developed that you could apply to this media. I mean, you know, you listed a bunch of people. I mean, you're an electrical engineer. Glenn is a clinical psychologist. Ari was a sales trainer and sales technique research person. John Rinaldi, an engineer. Me, I'm a music guy, really. I mean, I had a radio show. I ran a record label. I put on, you know, and we're all kind of doing what we were always doing, except now we're doing it on the internet. Which should be very, I think, should be very encouraging to people, especially people that have done some interesting things in their lives. So if we were to recap some of this, one thing is the internet is clearly becoming more central to everyone's life. Even more than it already was a year ago, seemingly. Number two, this disciplined way of dealing with communications, direct marketing, is a very helpful thing to have embedded in your psyche and consciousness as you deal with Internet 2009 or Internet 3009. You pointed out right in the beginning of the call, there's a lot of distractions out there, right? It is very easy to get swept away, and there's something very elegant about the direct marketing model, which says, I need more leads, and I need to convert the leads better. And everything else is just noise, you know?
Yeah.
Then we looked at AdWords, which is kind of a school for direct marketing and a school for testing. We talked about, you know, not only those little AdWords ads, a laboratory for testing, but looking at Google itself, the behemoth, the 900-pound gorilla, they're like a testing example of testing. You know, a company that literally tested its way to success. And then, you know, you just gave the mathematical basis for this seemingly simple idea, which is if you're selling one thing, figure out how to sell a real cheap version, so figure out how to promote a really expensive version, and come out with, you know, a bunch of versions and watch your customers pre-select themselves.
It's the easiest way to double your sales, actually. You know,
wow.
To make a couple of premium versions of something. Because usually whatever you're selling them is only partly what they were looking for anyway. You don't usually have to think really hard to figure out what the next step would be. Like, I had this guy selling a ebook for people whose dogs had dog cancer. And I said, well, you know, the best way you could monetize this is like, sell them Laetril treatments for their dog in Mexico or something. That'd be perfect. And he's, well, I don't know if I could do the logistics of that. Like, well, you know, as soon as you figure that out, you have a ready-made thing because, okay, you sell somebody this book for 20 or 40 bucks or something, but I go, you know, I know a Jewish woman from New York City who, you know, flew to Sweden to get a dog. You know, how much would she spend on dog cancer treatments, right? It's like, well, you gotta have something for her. If you do, there's a lot of money there. How much would people spend on their dog? And I'm not trying to be, what's the word, like, predatory here.
Yeah.
Like, hey, so I got the book. And like, okay, so I gotta spoon feed these, you know, nutritional supplements to my dog for the next 6 months, but, like, do you have a more complete solution than that? Like, please, 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 my dog is dying.
Like, or somebody has tremendous resources and money and no resources and time.
Right.
They can't do it. You know,
right.
You tell them every, you know, and yet they could write a $10,000 or a $20,000 check and have their dog, their beloved pet, put on a plane and taken to some special clinic and then have the relief to know that everything that could possibly be done for their pet's being done. And you might say, you see, this is one of the challenges. You know, marketing, I'm more and more convinced is all about imagination.
Yeah.
And what Perry just did there was he imagined his way, you know, into you've got this market and you know there's an interest because you sold the $20 book. What, you know, how do you imagine your way into a much higher priced offering? And, a lot of people limit their imagination. They say, well, I would never do that. I would never spend $20,000 to fly my dog to a special clinic in Switzerland. But it doesn't matter what you do because there's people that would do it.
Right.
Now, let's talk about the numbers, too. Like, you've added all these, you know, from your $16 book to your $16,000 consulting and training and mastermind group. You know, what those high-end offers, which for the right person, that is like it's the total solution. They've got a business. It's rocking. And now they need to tighten everything up. They need to get smarter. They need to be with smart people. They need to have ready access to somebody at Perry's level. They've got the money to spend, and they just need someone smart to spend it with.
Yeah.
You know? So we're not saying, hey, if you just, you know, decide you wanted to try an internet business, that that's the right product for you. No, the right product for you is probably the $16 book.
Mm-hmm.
See, read Perry's book, the complete, what's it called, the complete guide?
The ultimate guide to Google
ultimate
AdWords.
Guide. Yeah. The ultimate guide to Google AdWords. I mean, that is a great a reality check. You know, if you get that book and read it and you feel like, ooh, this is cool, then you're kind of like cut out to be an internet marketer.
Yeah.
If you spend that, if, you know, now on the other hand, if you spend that $16 and you read it and go, oh my God, you know, this is
some
what
people do.
Yeah. Well, you know, and that's okay. And
yeah.
You know what? I'm sure it's completely okay with you. I mean, obviously, it'd be nice if somebody said, well, let me buy a case. If I buy one, I might as well buy a case.
Right.
But you know, you're really just looking for the people ultimately that want what you got. And if somebody does some kind of a test and they realize, hey, this really isn't the direction I want to go, that's fine, because you know there's more people out there looking for what it is you actually have.
Oh yes, and you know something else I want to say about you know, taking, having that whole range from 16 to 16,000, at every level, you know, if you go by multiples, you know, 16 to 100 to 500 to 2500 to 12,000 or whatever, if you do it, if you give each of those levels their proper amount of attention,
mm-hmm.
They'll all produce roughly equal amounts of money.
Mm.
Okay, so like the bookstore book and the round table are similar sized businesses.
Interesting.
They have similar amounts of total sales. Now, it just so happens that most of that bookstore business happens in bookstores and on Amazon and between the book publisher and the customers, and I only get a royalty on that. But that business is still there.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? And so I, in my mind, a properly built-out business is kind of a pyramid with a level one, a level two, a level three, and a level four. And the size of the transactions is inversely proportional to the quantity of the transactions. So really, each section of the pyramid produces a similar amount of money. And that adds a considerable amount of stability to your business, because one of the things that you'll find when changes happen in your market or when recessions hit or whatever, is all parts will not be affected equally.
Mm-hmm.
You know, some businesses may take a huge hit at the top or at the bottom, but not be impacted as much on the other parts. And so there's actually some stability in that too. The other thing is the concept of customer ascension, which is if you properly cultivate a customer, they come in at the bottom, but then they start taking ladder climbs up, maybe slow, maybe fast, maybe gradually, maybe suddenly. But if you have the ladder there for them to climb up to begin with, and you put the ladder in front of them, and you show them that it's there, then now they know there is a place to go.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Okay? And people need that. I mean, everybody who is a freshman in college knows that if they are a good little boy and girl and they do everything they're supposed to, they could eventually be one of those cool grad students. And the grad students know that if they are well-behaved and they get their gold stars, they can become an associate professor or something, right?
Mm-hmm.
And you know, if they get their gold stars, they could become a chairman of the department. So, like the ladder in a university, the ladder is all there,
mm-hmm.
right?
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, every business should have a ladder.
Mm-hmm. I mean, imagine if you didn't go to if schools didn't have a ladder, right? And they just said, we'll just go to this place and hang out for an indeterminate amount of time. We're not sure what's going to happen. We're not sure when it's going to be over. We're not sure, you're not going to really know when you're done.
Right.
So that wouldn't work. And yet we do that with our customers all the time.
Yes, we do.
Okay. Yeah, look, join this thing, buy this thing, and you know, maybe is it getting you 100% of the way there or 20%? I mean, people are fair. It's like, all right, I'll spend this amount to get 20% of the way there. I realize maybe I can't get everything I want because I'm not willing to spend the full thing, but I'll spend this amount if it will get me half the way there. You know, people are fair. But if you say to them, well, just enter into this murky world of, you know, no pathway, no ladder, and figure it out for yourself. It's usually a very bad idea to leave it up to the customer to figure things out for themselves.
Yes, indeed.
You know, where am I? What should I buy? Well, this has been one of our wide-ranging conversations, as they always are. I want people to have an experience of what it's like to chat. One of the possible outcomes of chatting with Perry Marshall. I always get some great ideas from him. I'm often either I'm learning something new or I'm reminded of something really important, really fundamental. And I want to close on this. Going back to the UK, we had Drayton Bird come out, and Drayton's, you know, one of the great living. He hates for me to say this because it makes it sound like he's super old, but he's one of the last great living direct marketers, you know, of that great old school of, you know, David Ogilvy and the John Caples and the
mm-hmm.
Maxwell Sackheims. I mean, those guys, they're not making them anymore. And he is one of them. He's kind of the kid, you know. He was the kid. Very interesting, when he spoke, he got up and he was very smart, and he said, he laid out exactly what he was going to try to accomplish. He goes, I'm going to show you some new things, I'm going to stretch your mind, and I'm going to remind you of some things that you already knew but needed to be reminded of. Is that okay? Which is, you know, a great way to start a presentation. And everybody, you know, said, yeah, sure, go ahead, Drayton. You know, go ahead. And then at the very end of the talk, he said, well, I showed you some new things. I opened your mind, and I reminded you of some things that were worth being reminded about. Are you satisfied? Everybody was, you know, the talk was awesome, and everybody was very happy. And I have to say, for me, the most valuable thing in the talk was being reminded. We could probably teach somebody everything they need to know about Internet marketing in a day, maybe less. And it's not, for instance, how many people know what an autoresponder is? On this call, maybe 90% of the people on the call. But how many people have taken the time to dig deep and become masters of the autoresponder? And I'll tell you exactly how many. Count the people with six-figure incomes and seven-figure net worths. And those are the guys that went a little bit deeper than simply saying, oh, I already know that. And I got to say this, guys, and I don't mean to be mean, but, you may think you know some stuff, and that's great. You know the terminology, you know, but you are just some folks are just shooting themselves in the foot financially by thinking because they know the name of something and they can describe it that they've actually gotten deep into it. As a way of taking us out here, I'm going to ask, you know, Perry, I mean, in my experience, and tell me about your experience, I'm only using 4 or 5 basic skills in my business.
Oh, yeah.
I'm not, right? You too, right?
Yeah. I don't think it's realistic to expect from yourselves or from others to be masterfully proficient at 10 different things. If you get world-class at, like, 1 or 2 things, and really good at 4 or 5, that's probably good enough.
Yep.
Usually, okay? You sent out an email the other day. I thought it was really good. It was about, you know, get up and write for an hour every day.
Mm-hmm.
Well, you know, I don't care what video technology is on the Internet. It is always going to be driven by the printed word.
Mm-hmm.
I think that is a safe prediction. I bet you it'll still be true 40 years from now.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? It's the persuasion of the written word. It's the extension of the printing press. And so, like, you know what I'm good at is I'm good up at getting up in the morning, just like you said. It was like right down the fairway what you said. I'm good at getting up in the morning and sitting at, and like I walk out of my bedroom into my library, which is about probably about 12 feet from my bed to my chair, okay? And I sit down and I write an email and I send it out.
Mm.
And that is the lifeblood of my business.
Mm-hmm.
And, mm-hmm. you know, Google AdWords is not the lifeblood of my business. It's how people get into the funnel.
Mm-hmm.
But it's like only 10% of the story.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, like, so I'm good at that. And, yeah, I'm good at AdWords, and I'm good at having a systematic way of improving everything, and I'm good at writing a newsletter every month, and I'm good at finding interesting people to expose my customers to. So, like, it's a pretty short list of things.
Yep.
So, you know, you don't have to, like, get all crushed by, you know, this discouraging giant list of stuff.
Right. And if I were to add one thing to this is you're doing these four or five things inside of a living, breathing marketplace. In other words, you're not like amassing knowledge and honing skills for the sake of someday you might use them for something. You're actually mixing it up in a particular marketplace, working towards a particular aim. And I think that's a very important thing for people to keep in mind, too. These, you know, we talk about a lot of stuff on these calls, but it starts to make perfect sense in 3D Technicolor when you're selling something, you know, when you're building that list, when you're trying to increase the response from a particular list or get a better response on a landing page or get a better response on a particular set of ads to a particular set of people.
It's all about putting it into action. I had this guy, he joined a coaching program. Brian called me up. He said, this guy's unhappy. He's complaining. Would you mind talking to him? So I get him on the phone, and he goes, you guys didn't tell me anything I hadn't already heard before.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? And I go, and the image that I had in my head was, like, he sounded kind of snarky.
Mm-hmm.
Like, kind of, he said it with a sneer, and I'm like, okay, we're going to shake this guy down. And I go, okay, so have you done peel and stick on all your Google AdWords groups? Well, I've done a few of them. Do you have split testing on your landing pages? No, I'm going to get that done. Do you have, 10 or 15 autoresponder messages that go out to all your customers? Well, in my market, people would not respond to that. And I asked him two or three other questions, and I go, what do you think this is? Entertainment?
Right.
Like, I was seriously, like, I have to take this snide attitude from some dilettante that, like, barely has a business going and thinks that, like this is the idea of the month club. Like, well, okay, that's probably what your email box is from all the people that are telling you the latest thing, but that is not how successful businesses are run.
Right.
Like, we implement basic things. Now, the thing is if you're rolling up your sleeves and you're doing it, all of a sudden, these things that you thought you knew, you realize you didn't really know.
Exactly.
You thought you knew what was going on, but you actually didn't. And then you put it in, and then all of a sudden, it's like you sit around the bar and you talk to some other people at a conference, and they're a player, and you're all playing, and all of a sudden, you know, somebody starts telling you what they're doing, and your mind gets set on fire, and like 3 hours later, it's 2:30 in the morning, and you like wish you didn't have to go to bed.
Yeah, right, because you're working on trying to get something, you're trying to apply something that you just heard 2 minutes earlier that evening.
Right, and so that's what's supposed to go on at seminars. You know, the content from the stage is only half the experience. The other half is rubbing shoulders with players.
And then the other, if there's a third half, which I guess violates the laws of mathematics, but there's a third half, which is your intensity in quickly applying the stuff that you learn. I came up with a phrase, and it may be too extreme, but maybe it's not. I said, to get your value out of a seminar, you need to come as, like you're a dog in heat, looking for an idea that you can jump.
Yeah.
Do something with, now, you know?
Uh-huh.
And if you look at the big, you know, some of the big, you know, famous success stories, like, you know, the Jeff Paul story or the Lloyd Irvin story, you know, Jeff came to a seminar and they were beyond dead broke. I mean, they couldn't even afford the food at the seminar. Do you think he was motivated to really, and he got some great ideas from the guy teaching, and he applied them like a dog. And he, Lloyd Irvin, another example, very successful as a professional athlete. I mean, world champion in Brazilian Jiu-Jitsu. But you know what? That doesn't really make you much money. He wanted to do better. Came to a seminar in 2003. Heard about autoresponders, and ran upstairs to his room. Got on the phone with a friend, and said, "Set up an autoresponder for me." You know, set up one of these landing pages. I don't know. Just put a page on it and a link and we'll figure it out, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And it took him, and Lloyd makes some big bucks. I mean, he's pressing on, if not beyond, $10 million a year now. And, he grabs things and uses them right away. And it took him a while to, like, figure out how to make it work. But the thing was, he was working it from minute one. If you've been in perpetual student mode, hey, now you can get out of it. You don't have to be in it forever. And just realize that it really is the action that makes all the difference. The action is a lot less glamorous at first. It's a lot less dramatic. It's a lot more interesting to talk about, you know, really complicated strategies that somebody else did than it is to improve your landing page and bump it from 1.5% to 2%, but the guy that's doing the 1.5% to 2% bump on his landing page is so far ahead of the guys that are sitting around talking about how the brilliant, you know, guru genius, you know, did a double, triple, reverse somersault, you know, made a billion and bought a Maserati. You know, it's just like, anyway, we could go on and on about this topic, but, you know, this is a business that really responds to intelligent effort. It is business that is very forgiving to learners, you know, right? I mean, it's not like building houses. You can mess it up 10 times and still survive and live enough to try it another day. We've got phenomenal, you know, coming back to the theme where we started, you know, it's 15 years out for me teaching this stuff, and I've never felt more confident or more thrilled about mounting a particular event with a particular faculty. I mean, these are guys that are into it. You know, Perry, James Martel, this is his 10th year. We got three different guys that are Google certified, and if you think Google certifies people easily, you really should look in. It's a 70-page application process just to get the ball rolling. We got Google itself sending one of its people. We got somebody who's from the future, Kim Jashinsky, who's already established herself as a real expert in the mobile marketing field. And then good place to be. Yeah, and we got Sean D'Souza, who I know you know and admire as I do, who's got a very interesting model for info marketing. We've also got Gohar Chandri, who is excellent at the world of CPA, not certified public accountant, but
cost for action.
Yeah, extremely good at doing this really fundamentally important thing, which is getting leads off the web. I'm going to be talking about some of the insights that I've had over the last 15 years, in particular some that have just occurred to me this year that I think have changed the way I look at what I'm doing to very positive effect. So, Perry Marshall, it's a pleasure as always. Everybody knows that, I hope they know, if you want to find out more about Perry, if this is your first exposure to him, perrymarshall.com, good place for them to go.
Perrymarshall.com is the place to go. Got a free Google 5-day course. Got a couple other free courses there that you can sign up for. That'll get you on my mailing list, and the adventure begins from there.
Hey, great. And two L's in Marshall.
Yeah, two L's.
Excellent. And the system seminar, which will be in Chicago this year, very early this year, March 27th through March 29th. Usually we have it in late May, so it's a lot sooner than you think. It's March 27th and 29th. Go to the system seminar, read all about it. And if you got value from this call, even a little bit, what I recommend you do is listen to it again. You may be surprised at how much more there was in it than you heard the first time. And if you like that experience, we're interviewing all the faculty members. All the interviews are a little bit different orientations, different focuses, different styles. But they're all designed to give you things that you can walk away from and use right away. So check out thesystemseminar.com. If you can join us in Chicago in March, we'd love to see you. Perry, pleasure as always. Thanks a lot, and I'll see you soon.
Okay, thank you, Ken.